Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And for this episode, we have a very special treat in store, don't we, Helen?
We do. We've got not one, but two amazing women, Ellie.
Yes, we've got the Hotbed Collective.
Woo!
Which does make you sound, I think, a bit like you supported Colour Me Bad on tour in 1992. But in fact, what are you, the Hotbed Collective?
The Hotbed Collective, we're a collective of women. Us two being at the helm of it.
Such a big collective.
And so, yes. But in theory, we are a collective of lots of women all over the world who want everyone to have more orgasms.
Ideally,
not immediately.
Not right
in
now.
In their own time, yes.
In a couple of hours' time, because they are going to make you have really good orgasms, not just with their words, but with their hot tips and their book and their podcast.
Exactamundo.
I think this is a good podcast. I was going to say for women, but for everybody, because everybody needs to know about female pleasure. Everybody needs to know about wanking off and porn and toys and clitorises and all those things that I'm very comfortable talking about.
It's the way you listed them so naturally.
Wanking off, I think.
Wanking off is a good, strong one to start with, yes. And now you're literally rubbing your own face with
and
your thumbs.
Clitorises, the plural of clitoris. I mean, wouldn't you have thought it'd be clitori, but it isn't. Clitorati. Clitorati.
Clitorati.
Yeah.
I like
in the
that.
Party.
Yes.
I thought it was clitoris. Is it not? Yes.
That sounds like a little bunch of islands. Yeah. Oh, I'm just going to the clitoris this summer.
It's interesting that you use the word wanking, because that's probably... I wouldn't necessarily always associate that with women. So I always think with wanking, I always get masturbation. I always think more is more women.
Oh, is it?
Well, it isn't. There's no law in place that says you have to say that. But it's just interesting. As soon as you say wanking, I see a hand going up and down a shaft. And
well, you haven't seen how big my kid is.
Really should have had those stitches after birth.
Well, I'm glad we've kicked off. It's been a strong start, lads. I'm not going to lie.
We're just doing synonyms now.
Kicking off with a wanking off. But why don't you introduce yourselves individually so the listener can get an idea of who's telling them about wanking?
Okay, well, I'm Anarchy, and Leith and I founded the Hotbed together. And I'm a writer and I work in marketing. And I guess that's me, really. Mainly writing, actually. So sort of that's kind of how we met, and blogging and that whole sphere of stuff and the Instagram crowd.
Mm.
Yeah. And Cherry Healy is our fellow co-founder.
Yeah. So we'd met at a Christmas party, which was a bit dooming because it was kind of full of women that no one knew each other. And right. So it was kind of that awkward standing around with a glass of champagne.
I was at that.
I think you might have been
there. I did some stand-up there, I remember.
You did? You did because you had a bra with lights and things on it. I remember.
Yeah.
We were probably the highlight.
Classy lady.
Merry Christmas.
I remember that. It was a bit awkward. And then what was interesting is that women started, as they had more booze, to talk about their lack of sex. And it was quite an eye-opener, I think, for me, because I'd looked at a lot of these women and I'd sort of thought, God, they're really attractive. They've obviously got brilliant relationships. They've got kids.
I would.
Mm. Yeah. And then there was this kind of cat out of the bag where people were like, do you know what? We haven't done it for 6 months, or we haven't done it for a year, or we just haven't done it at all. And as soon as that came out, that's when it started to feel like a topic that people could talk about. And we found generally that the minute that you give people permission, people just want to lay it all on the line in terms of lack of sex or bad sex or
wanking off
masturbation, isn't it? It's a real topic, but I think you almost need to know. It's no good being with somebody. I mean, Helen, you might be like this, where everyone goes, "Oh, I have an amazing sex life. I have sex 3 or 4 times a day, and I'm perfectly satisfied all the time." That's probably less the kind of person.
Nobody has ever said that to me, like, ever in my whole life. But yeah, it is. I think it's one of those things that, I mean, it's in everyone's thoughts, but there's an element of shame about it, and there's lots of layers about why we feel the way we do about sex. But it isn't, I mean, and essentially you just can't talk about it down at the coffee shop, can we, or at the school gates. It is quite a private matter.
You have to be really careful, because I think you have to be in a trusted space. So before we kicked off, you were talking about WhatsApp groups, and I think if you were doing the local school mums, you probably wouldn't say, "Oh, I've just had a really good masturbation session upstairs while watching Peaky Blinders." I mean, you could do.
You've given me so many ideas.
But you might.
I've wanked myself blind to Peaky Blinders. All that Cillian Murphy. I've gone north. I've had it shaved in the same way as his haircut.
I've just a bit puffy on the top.
I came really late to the Peaky Blinders thing. I'm only on series one, so I've literally, like, I've been salivating. We were just talking about it on the way here. And I think the very first episode, I wasn't even aware that this man existed. And I was literally like...
Cillian Murphy?
No. I've seen him in the distance in various adverts or films and things, but I saw him on the telly, and I was like...
Yeah.
I'd obviously been the bad dude.
28 Days Later. Let's just list all the films.
Oh, Cillian Murphy. The bit where he has to chop off his own arm. That's a great one.
Is he in that?
Yeah.
What, when the man gets trapped in the rocks?
Yeah, that's him.
That's not him.
Is that him?
No, that's James Falco.
Also, great
chat. It'll never go out of you now.
Because we're in real divisive times now, and either you'll leave or you'll remain, or you're this or you're that. But the one thing I think we can all unite on is Cillian Murphy. And, like, weirdly, when we put him on our Instagram, like, he reels in the likes. People just love him, whatever.
He's one of your brand pillars now.
Oh, he really is, exactly. Every fourth square. Cillian. But yeah, he's good.
We went through a series of, in the beginning of, it was John Travolta, who's another, there's kind of guilty pleasures, I guess, and John Travolta was one of them.
Before then, he went all Scientology.
Yeah. So kind of more on his kind of Saturday Night Fever sort of days.
Tight slacks.
And then Kevin Bacon, actually, is another one. I think there's a whole thing around retro 80s kind of films.
Oh, I love his EE work. I've got one. Tom Selleck.
Shorty shorts, though.
Yeah. And Michael J. Fox was another one, Back to the Future. For if you kind of grew up in that era, he was probably a bit of a lust object.
John Cusack for me. Yeah. Gives me a little widey.
Oh, yeah. George Michael, God bless him. Not that he'd be interested in the likes of us.
Just for our own pleasure. No.
So we do this on our Instagram account.
I'd take Ridgely, quite honestly.
When we did our Instagram, before we did a podcast or anything, we did just occasionally post up a picture of a hot man. And whilst it sounds a little bit like the female equivalent of Page 3, it was just sometimes, I think, quite nice for our friends and our followers who were just having quite a shit day and open up Instagram for a bit of escapism. And instead of always seeing perfect interiors and all this idyllic fashion and whatever and travel, they were just seeing someone quite attractive. It's sort of quite a nice little pop, you know, in pop, little blip in the matrix of like, oh, I am, you know, a sexual person again. I'm making it all sound quite credible when it was just a load of pervert.
Nothing wrong with that, Lisa. Perfectly nice thing to do.
But it's nice to remind yourself that you can be sexual, I think. And that's sort of where it all started, was that we started writing about parenting, or I think in Cherry's case, she was just writing about body confidence. And it does all lead back to this area of sexuality, which is so often forgotten. And so we started the Instagram, and then the book came off the back of that, because we're just basically fairly normal women, and like on paper, and we've sort of forgotten that side of ourselves, and especially after having kids, because you've got, you know, maybe a birth injury or like pelvic floor issues,
just and knackered.
Knackered, yeah. And the hormones,
hormones,
the hormones, like the Ramones,
yes.
They just are making you. Well, I just didn't recognise myself, and I didn't recognise my relationship anymore, and I just sort of really genuinely thought, I will never have sex again. I don't want to. I don't want to want to. I'm just fine. You know, I'm not fine. I'm like very in a state of kind of crisis.
And how did your partner cope with that information?
He loved it, didn't he? No, he would just pick these really bad moments as well. And I think the communication really broke down, because he'd sort of come over and like kiss me when I was like, but can't you see all of those, like, you know, can't you see that crying baby over there? You know, it was sort of like, are you kidding me?
Misjudged.
Really misjudged. Yeah. But then I realised there's literally never a good moment because I'm always like completely exhausted. My to-do list is really long and I feel shit. And I actually just don't feel like ever initiating it myself. And I started to look into like, well, why is that? And I realised all of these things, like about the pelvic floor, about hormones. You know, I think I was breastfeeding at the time and that really kills your libido. Sleep deprivation completely kills your sex drive, completely. Mm. And that's one of the things we always say to people that message us to go like, I don't want it anymore. Or I do, but my partner doesn't. And we're like, well, how's your sleep? Because sleep deprivation is a really, really big deal, you know, to when it comes to wanting to feel good about yourself.
There can be a sense that you feel that it's another thing, because we all have very busy lives and you kind of, if you've got kids or not, but if you're kind of working and you're trying to keep fit or have a healthy diet and have a good social life and have a nice house and climb the ladder and be creative and do all these other things, sex just becomes another thing that you have to kind of do. And I think
like
people,
deworming the dog.
Yes. Yeah,
it's just another thing.
It's kind of another
list.
Thing. And
lower,
especially if
lower down
in,
than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've been in a long-term relationship, you know, you kind of learn that desire is no longer sort of bubbling away inside you, unless you're very lucky actually, and there are people who have that, but you have to work at it, I think. And I think that's quite a relief to kind of realize that most people who are in long-term relationships are having to work at it, or are parking it for a bit, or are just thinking, actually, you know, this isn't naturally, because I think so much of the TV programs, interesting we talk about that, it shows sex as being very spontaneous and very sort of, I mean, if you look at, I was watching the episode where they first get it on together.
Which one?
Peaky Blinders. The two central characters, I can't even remember their names now, but I was watching that and I was thinking so much of the sex you see on TV is very romanticised, you know, it's really kind of like...
Oh, I love it when they just clear a table with one arm.
Well, I was doing this thing, because she's on top, and she's kind of, I'm doing a gesturing of somebody moving up and down astride someone else.
Yeah, you're stroking a doner kebab.
I know. And I was thinking, for your normal woman, who's probably had a baby quite recently, that particular position is kind of a little bit out of the question in terms of how deep someone might be penetrating you, or even just how athletic you are in terms of getting on top of somebody else and then sort of pumping up and down. Or there was another one where I saw there's sex up against the wall is another popular thing you see in films, or on a counter.
Oh, yes.
Or, you know, sort of in the kitchen, sort of someone spontaneously. And these are often couples that have been together for a long time. And I'm always aware of the fact that when you're in a couple, you're often watching a lot of sex on TV. And there's that kind of awkward moment where you're kind of like, it's almost like you're watching sex with your dad or something, because you're kind of like, oh, we haven't had sex in a while. And we're now watching this couple having really hot sex. And that's usually the part where your partner will go out and instead of having sex, he'll be like, oh, I'll go and get the Monster Munch, or, you know, I'll go and get those Doritos that you love so much and eat those. But there's kind of an awkward moment because it's a reminder that you're not having the kind of sex that you see on TV. And that's okay.
Yeah. Especially, I think, going back to when you've, like, when it's the first time you've had sex after you've had a baby. Like, that's, for me, that was a big thing. Like, we waited, like, 6 months, I think. Mm. And then, like, and I think we did it because, he was born in June. And then I think we did it on New Year's Eve. That was like, we were like, that's romantic.
Fireworks.
Because it was not romantic at all. Because I'd had an episiotomy and all of that and been stitched back up. And I was all right, but by that point. But I was like, it's still like, you know,
it's
you're like,
a new thing.
Right, off we go. And it's like when you have to get out of the car and guide them into backing into a parking space. You know, you're like, right, bit to the left. No, slowly. No, careful. No, you bash the wing mirror.
And isn't it always? And I don't know, if you're in an NCT group or have friends that have babies, it's like such a watershed moment where you can talk about sex with them. Because I remember I was in an NCT group with this lovely, indiscreet, gossipy American. And like literally the first time we met up with the baby, she was like, so who's had sex yet? And I was like floored that she'd asked us. But I was actually did want to talk about it. And I was like, no. Like literally, so not my priority at the moment. But for her, it was like, no, I need to like get the show back on the road. And it was such a great chat. And now when we do the Heartbed, we're kind of like always having these chats with people, which is so nice. Because I think people sometimes just want to talk and not always be like, oh, yeah, it's brilliant. And we're swinging from the chandeliers. But just sometimes like you just say, oh, it's a bit painful.
Or it's just a bit awkward. Like, you know, if you were filming the average couple having sex, It might be just a sort of sleepy spooning action. I mean, it's not, I think you often just see this very outrageous sort of stuff, whereas
as you be together, socks, flights, everyone's nudie,
exactly. So like, you know, I mean, I know that sometimes
no one's wearing socks.
No, exactly. Socks or an old dressing gown or any of that stuff. And I think the other thing is we were kind of aware of the fact that a lot of the advice in this area tends to be quite cliched. So it's always like, why don't you go on a date night? You know, go and put on some special underwear.
Why don't you go and
get
row.
A little pencil skirt out and spritz a little bit of fragrance behind your ears and then go for a lovely meal. And that doesn't really work.
No, that's like the opposite of sex. Why don't you go and have the same row but in a public place and pay 80 quid for the privilege?
Yes, exactly.
Why don't you do that? Because that shit, that's why not.
And then really
you come back
and
you're full and you're farting, burping, and you're exhausted.
And you just,
you just pass out and then you feel really guilty the next day.
Yeah. So we definitely say, date night's sexy. Fine if you just want to go and have a film, but don't put pressure on yourself that you've got to then have romance. It's funny because Paul and I always call it romance because we can't say sex. So we're going to have some romance tonight.
What, in front of the kids?
But you're a sexpert!
I know, it's bad, isn't it?
Well, you can't say it even when the kids aren't there.
No, because we always did that, because it was always a bit of a running joke, because we struggled a bit to conceive, you see. So I used to say to Paul, rather than saying, well, struggled is a that's an understatement, but in the beginning days of trying to conceive, I would say, it's time for romance, because I was doing ovulation, you know, kid things. And rather than saying, I couldn't bring myself to say we have to go and have sex now. Because if you're trying to have a baby, you have to do it on specific days. You get the little smiley face on your ovulation thing and you have to go upstairs. So I'd say, should we go and have some romance? And it was just a euphemism. So we still joke about it now because we say we don't have that much romance. And actually, we don't have the other kind of romance either. Because we've got quite a young baby at home. So 6 months feels good to me because I think that's... Sometimes it can take much longer than that. I think.
I wouldn't presume to tell anybody what the correct amount of time. My mother would probably say 45 years. I do hope so anyway.
We had a guest once who said within 3 months, I think she'd said. And I was quite taken aback because I was like, blimey.
No, some women feel quite horny, especially sometimes with breastfeeding, it can make them feel really horny. And then they're like, got to act on it now. But I loved all the kind of chat before you have kids where you hear about like, oh, what if your kids walk in on you having sex? And I'm like, most people aren't having sex, so it's not really a problem.
It's not an issue.
Yeah.
But well, not very often.
And the other thing, you mentioned socks in bed. That's so funny, because basically it does actually help you have an orgasm if you're
warm. What?
If you're feet
are warm. I am a pioneer.
Are you wearing socks or your other half's wearing socks?
I don't know. Who knows?
Are you both wearing socks?
No, that was just an example.
It's a sexy look. There is nothing wrong with socks in bed, listeners. Like,
do you wear a sock each?
Well, I think it's the famous Red Hot Chili Peppers where they did a photo shoot where they all had socks on their penises, and it was quite interesting because they were kind of big tennis socks, and it was a picture of all of them, and I think everyone was trying to judge roughly
how big this long was.
Hours of fun, literally hours of fun.
Yeah.
So like getting back to like female pleasure, because obviously it's difficult even for you, Leaky, to say sex and the way we own it kind of thing. And so where do you think this has come from? I mean, obviously there's a whole history of, you know, repression and patriarchy and things like that, but it feels like from the get-go girls are not talked to about female pleasure, and even when you're talking getting like sex education, like the clitoris is never mentioned and all those sort of things. And do you think that's changing now, or?
I think it is changing a little bit, but we talked quite a lot about our own sex education, and I'm sort of 10 years older than Lisa, so mine was really quite bad. And I think there still is quite an onus on contraception. So for me, it was ironically, all we were taught was that this was how you had a baby. So sex was how you had a baby. And for girls going to an all-girls school, the main message was, I think we were given a kind of a banana and taught how to put a condom on top for contraception. So we was kind of, that was the kind of thing. And there was no mention, there was certainly no mention of a woman orgasming. There was kind of this idea that this stuff came out of a guy and it made you pregnant.
Yeah.
And so you had to be very scared of that. So certainly growing up, we had a lot of very fearful rumours and mythology around if you sat on a toilet seat, or I thought that if you went swimming, because we used to go swimming with boys at Crystal Palace swimming pool, and I thought they said that if boys ejaculated in the pool you would get pregnant, because you know, you might swim and they could swim up into your pants and into your swimming costume. You know, there were all kinds of weird sort of things. It's definitely improved since then.
But is that not true then, the swimming pool thing?
I did try and conceive that way, but I think the problem is now is that it's kind of shifted a bit. I think there still isn't much education around pleasure. There's probably more around kind of, hopefully, around consent and those kind of things. But I still don't think a lot of women feel that they can ask for what they want. So it's because sex ed's not just about these are these bits and this is this bit and this does that. It's also kind of like, if you don't enjoy that particular thing, then you don't have to do it. Or if you do enjoy this particular thing, you could ask somebody to do that more. So we talk quite a lot about penetration and that being one of the key things. And I didn't really know, all the boys that we sort of hung out with, they thought that things like cunnilingus were absolutely grotesque. I mean, that would be like disgusting. Like they didn't, you know, whereas the expectation was that you always gave them blowjobs.
Yeah.
So it was always kind of like, blowjobs were completely normal. And if you wanted to be popular, you were expected to do that.
Mm.
But there were no boys going around going, I'm really good at cunnilingus and look at me, I'm really cool.
Yeah. Mm.
So we've got a whole bit in the book where we talk about there's an equation between people being really cool and being really good at cunnilingus. Because it is one of those things where actually men should step up and claim their status. They're sort of saying, do you know what, we are really good at it. Because that is such an easy way for a woman to orgasm. And for a young woman discovering her sexuality, she's unlikely to have an orgasm giving some 13-year-old boy a blowjob.
Very unlikely.
You know,
yeah. And like probably and impossible.
Yeah. Mm. So, I mean, I think there is still quite a lot of shame around it, but it's getting better. And we're kind of on a mission to kind of bring it out.
But it's kind of in no one's interest to talk about it, because it's not about making babies and it's not really about selling porn or whatever. Like, you know, if you were to, I don't know, I just sometimes think it's not just the school's job to educate on these matters. It should also be like the porn we see, the films we watch, you know, like everything, like how your parents first react when they see you touching yourself, like shouldn't be a kind of, oh, don't do that. But parents don't know what to say and it's awkward. But at the same time, like, I think it's okay to be like, look, that's fine, it's private, it's just private, don't do it in Waitrose.
Or at least Asda. I mean, that's fine, Waitrose, no, not near the cupcakes. Yeah, I think you're so right, and especially I'm glad you brought up the whole porn thing, because I think we had an episode about a year or two ago with this amazing woman called Peggy Orenstein, and she did a whole book on girls and sex, and she said the porn has had such almost a negative impact on what is expected of girls for men.
Anarchy did this thing, the porn experiment, where she watched a bit of porn every day for the book. And she, every day for a week, which I'm sure is probably normal for a lot of people, so it probably wasn't that unusual, but that was sort of...
Oh, how was that? Were there any highlights?
I haven't watched porn in, like, 20 years, so what
Oh, it's moved on, Helen.
Oh,
my goodness, it's free now. You don't have to pay for it now, and you can just literally access it. I always think about that
the women have extra holes now.
Last time I watched it was on NHS.
That was post-war consensus. Anna and Bevan said everybody should have access to porn from the cradle to the grave. That's what he said.
VHS. I watched it.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you not watch porn then?
Never. Only that one time.
Really?
Yeah.
It's funny because that was I mean, it was a revelation to me. Even just women talking about watching porn, I think, is quite controversial, because we're educated to think that it's quite... Again, it's disgusting and it's shameful and we shouldn't do it. But yeah, I did watch it. But I mean, what was interesting is that it's all men. Well, maybe I don't know how to search for the right things, so I'm just on a standard porn site. And
it's basic porn hub.
Men penetrating things.
Yeah.
Work surfaces, tables, people, orifices. And it's just, there's no real... It sets up really... If you were a young boy watching this, or a teenage boy watching this... Your expectation would be that you walk into a room, you take your trousers off, the woman immediately orgasms just at the sight of
appendage. If you are Tom Selleck, that's unrealistic.
The woman basically...
It's like your waters are broken.
Orgasm, and then you do no work. There's no sort of effort on the man's part. Yeah.
There's
maybe a little tweak of a nipple here and there, but it can't really be asked to do anything else. And then it goes straight into penetration.
Right.
Usually vaginally and anally. and facially. So it's basically, you know,
all
this by multiple people.
Everyone is turned on right now. Everyone has a boner.
But it's just funny.
In one ear and out the other side.
After a while, it does impact. You become very desensitised. And I did describe it as sort of saying after a while, you sort of see people in the park. So I'd see other dads in the park, you know, if I was hanging out after school. And I would immediately sort of see them at it, you know, sort of see them humping things and imagining what their bum looks like when they're humping things. So it sort of gives you this really sort of one-track mind.
Mm.
Because I think when we were younger, you might have had a bit of a dirty mag or whatever. We had a Jackie Collins book that was passed around that had little dirty bits that were underlined. But actually, by the time you got with a boy, it was still quite mysterious in terms of what was going on.
Yeah.
Whereas now there's this kind of expectation, and it must be really hard, I think, But there probably is quite difficult for young people now that they've seen so much sex before they come to the actual act itself. And there's all these expectations. And unfortunately, a lot of it is not around women orgasming.
And I think also there's pressure on women. Like when I was in my 20s and the internet was coming up and, you know, porn was kept being a thing.
At the turn of the century.
And like, I think there was a pressure, this new pressure emerged as well, because not all dudes are terrible dudes, right? And some of them really want you to have a good time. But then their perception is that unless you're absolutely screaming your head off, frankly, as if you're being murdered, then all the time, then you're not having a good time. And also that all women, like the road to orgasm for women is completely uphill. Mm. Like the graph just goes up and up and up until you get louder and louder and louder until you sort
like
of,
a boiling kettle.
Yes, exactly. And that's not, like for me, that's not necessarily how it works. You know what I mean? It can be up and down and you can be like, oh, I'm a bit bored of this now. Let's try that and let's do this and, you know.
Totally. And actually we get like a lot of men contacting us going like, you're doing important work, girls. You know, I feel like I'm in the army or something. Like I'm really heroic. And like, this isn't brave, really, what we're
changing
doing.
Changing lives, yes.
Yeah, I feel like
you're
I am.
The Nelson Mandela of sex, that's
absolutely
what you are.
I love that. Right, that's going on the front cover. Done. So they say, oh, you're doing important work, because they kind of agree. Like it's like easy to think it's this weird conspiracy, but actually it's just because no one can be asked to talk about it, really, because it's not apparently that important. But actually, men want girls to have a good time. They really do. And actually, like, it doesn't have to take that long. And that's what we discovered in the research, is we did a big poll and we found out that really women can orgasm in 4 minutes. So it's not exactly a big outlay of time.
Four minutes,
mate.
Listen, don't ever give Ellie a time.
I am going to break that Guinness World Record. Yes.
I have known this woman for 6 years and I just saw that little twinkle in her eye.
Right, hold on. Pass me that camera. Pass me that cucumber right now. Let's give it a go.
With
4 minutes.
Hang on.
How do you do it? I don't think I've ever done it in
no.
4 minutes.
Somebody gave me.
If you had a sex toy, you would definitely do it in 4 minutes.
I got this thing recently. What was it called? Was it called the magic wand?
I think it was called a baby's arm holding an apple. That's what it looked like.
It's from Love, Honey.
Oh, the Darth Vader.
Is it very
it looks
long
like
one?
A Darth Vader.
It's plugged in the mains, right? You see these?
I've reviewed one. Fucking hell, it's like a bulldozer.
Yeah. Okay, and all it has is like a little dial which you increase with your thumb. And wow!
How many minutes, Helen?
I will go home and tell you later. it was something like very quick. Yeah. And also, unlike other things with like rabbits and, you know, the ones that go wah, wah, those ones, you require more sort of elbow movement. Mm. This one, you just put it on, you're like, ding dong!
And I'm away. Exactly. Yeah. And the other one, the new gen versions, I'm very keen on. First of all, we wanted to bring you some sex toys, but actually PRs don't send them to us anymore because we're always so rude about them.
Well, because we're honest. We are honest if we don't like them.
Oh, so we need to write to them. Okay.
The new gen that's coming out that I love and Anarchy's not that keen, but they're like, they basically suck your clitoris, right? And they are tiny.
Like a mollusk.
It's very small. It's basically a small...
God, that is such a turn on, but yeah.
A small thing with a kind of, like a little hole in the top, but it kind of goes like this. But I find it quite painful, so I sort of, I don't know.
What's this one called?
I think that one, is that called
Well, there's two. There's like the Satis... Fire and
say it's the Maximizer,
the Womanizer. They're all called basically like 90s boy band names,
right, okay,
yeah, with Y's in places that they shouldn't be.
Yeah, K's and Z's.
Yeah, yeah.
They designed it so like on the back it's got a picture of Brian McFadden, things like that. Yes. That would be nice.
Yeah, they all have curtains. Yeah, basically. But we were sent the Penguin, it's the first thing we were sent, and I said, can you send three? Because me, Cherry, and Anarchy all need to review it. And I was like, what is this? And it was very euphemistic in its language. It didn't say, all I needed to say was, it sucks your clitoris. It basically came up with all these ridiculous,
pleasurable, takes you to the realms of the highest mountain and brings you back home.
And we were like, just tell us what it is. And it's called a penguin, right? Penguin satisfier. And like, I tried it and I was like, I didn't know I had a thing for penguins, but maybe I do, because it was amazing. And basically,
does it look like a penguin?
Yeah, like there's one version you get that's sexy, like black and white.
And it's even like, does it look like the penguin from Batman?
That would be really
proper villain.
Oh, yeah, smoking a long cigar.
Someone else like a bad boy, what can I say? But one of them is wearing like a little bow tie. Honestly, it's hilarious. Oh. But I don't know where the designers like get their ideas from, but they're kind
of the Arctic, by all accounts.
But it is getting better. I mean, that's the thing, is I think it was kind of, in the old days, it was very much just penises. It was like enormous I remember going into a sex shop once in Soho. I mean, now they must be all defunct now, because I always think, you know, those old sort of plastic curtains.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
with used to come in and there'd be a man in a little cloth cap looking a bit dodgy with a long anorak, you know, it was that kind of
wanking
scene.
Off,
and you'd go in, and the dildos were very frightening, because they were very large and veiny and frightening and scary. And I think now, finally, people have clocked on to the fact that maybe that's not what women fantasise about. Like, maybe actually it's something designed...
Maybe it's penguins.
Maybe it's penguins.
Tiny little bunny rabbits, or maybe a thing that looks like a giant microphone.
It's actually something that's still...
There's an animal theme emerging.
Yes, it is.
Rather
than something
about penetrating again.
Yeah.
I just think men walk around going, penetrate, yeah. penetrate. And I'm just like, no, you've got it all wrong.
No.
Like, you know. And Dr. Carolly, we work with a lot, like, you know, she's a proper sex expert and a clinical... psychosexologist, is that right?
I think so.
A psychosexologist?
So she's I mean, she's brilliant, but she talks quite a lot about that. And I think the kind of idea that we're all brought up to just believe that sex equals man putting penis into vagina, whereas actually if you think about sex, it doesn't have to just be that limiting in terms of what you're doing. That's one of the things.
Totally. And women's magazines have a lot to account for, but one thing I did pick up from reading women's magazines as I was sort of growing up was how not very many women can orgasm from penetrative sex. Mm. And actually 80% of women can't, which is an amazing statistic and one that people don't know about. So 80% of women need something to do with their clitoris going on in order to orgasm. So
whether it's a penguin or a polar bear.
Any kind of animal-shaped plastic.
Walrus.
That's the new one coming out. Walrus.
Because in your book, because you've got great lists and recommendations, but you talk about how your partner can get involved remotely. So if you're away, then they can...
Yes, they can. Apparently.
They can play you while you're, you know...
Because we hear a guitar!
Yeah, no, like if you're at the Premier Inn and you're like, you can text up and go, oh, I'm going to pop it in now.
We talked a lot about because we tried to predict about the...
stupidest thing I've heard. I thought you'd like it.
Play away.
Or about the future. You're thinking about the future of kind of what's going to happen with sex toys. And one of them is obviously doing remote sort of being able to control things and toys. But the other one is obviously having sex with avatars. So that's a whole other area which will be developed. Which obviously you have sex dolls. So you have kind of, you can have a doll.
Not one of those.
But if you wanted to, for example, have... Is it Cillian Murphy or Cillian Murphy?
Cillian.
So if you had Cillian Murphy, an avatar...
I'd take either one of them. I think they're both lovely. Yeah.
Don't care how you say your name.
Yeah. In theory, in the future, that we could be having that kind of virtual sex with an avatar.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting in terms of ethics, because you're kind of like, is that being unfaithful? What about poor old Cillian? Because he's not agreed to have sex with you. Like, if you met him in a bar, he'd probably be like, oh, I don't really fancy that.
Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself.
The night I met Ellie Gibson, she did a joke about spicing up your sex life by wearing a Billy Piper mask.
Yes, but that was actually based in I did a joke about a real letter that was in The Guardian.
Oh, right? Really?
Quite a sort of younger woman saying that she was in this relationship with this bloke. And it was a serious letter, and he liked her to wear a mask
And it's, I think it said something like either Billy Piper or someone from Girls Aloud.
Yeah.
And like, she was like, is this normal? Is it just a thing? Should I go along with it? And that is a weird question, isn't it? Because there it is that fine line. Some people are turned on by feet or weeing or, you know.
Or popping balloons. Like this.
We got a whole range of, if you Google on Amazon, and that probably is a really cheap sex tip, but at some of our events you can get masks of just about everyone, celebrity masks.
Oh, feature a lot in our shows. Yeah. Yeah. We've got one of Rick Astley.
You can do,
Kevin Bacon,
or, I mean, Dave Grohl, who's I absolutely think he's amazing.
We used to simulate sex in our old show as Jeff Goldblum and Mary Berry, an image which I feel like many people would never be able
to
get.
That's a very cheap way. Someone somewhere has uploaded that to YouTube and is jacking off to it.
People have put pictures of it on Instagram, and every time I see it, I'm weirded out by it.
Why did we think that was
a very cheap sort of sex tip? So you could spend a lot of money on a very expensive hotel, or, you know, getting beautiful Agent Provocateur underwear, or your partner just puts on the Dave Grohl mask and you put on the Mary Berry mask.
Yeah. Do men really like the underwear? That's the other thing, because I've known quite a lot of men who are like, well, that's just like, that's the wrapping paper. I want the present. I don't really care about the,
It's interesting. We should probably do our next sort of survey, I think, would be interesting to talk to men, because I'm interested in that. But I think there's a real distinction between the underwear that men like and the underwear that women like. Because I know early on in our relationship with Paul and I remember he bought me, I don't know if you've ever had this with your partner, very small underwear. I'm gesturing a very small pair of underwear.
Like a doll size.
Very small. And it's a series of string. It was when everyone had strings, you know, and it was kind of like a black string with red ribbon on each side.
Yeah.
And it was the kind of thing that if Kylie Minogue wore it, she'd probably just about get away with it. But me, definitely not. And I remember unpacking it. He'd obviously spent quite a lot of money on it. It was a very, very small, uncomfortable piece of, you know, underwear. And I thought, it's so funny that that's what he thinks. And it had four diamonds at the front.
Sounds classy.
I remember thinking that's obviously what he finds sexy, because men, it's often the cliche is kind of the red or the kind of, you know, body stockings made out of lace and that kind of thing, whereas women I think are a bit more attracted to slightly more subtle, I don't know, I don't like itchy, scratchy, tiny pants.
About confidence, I think actually from the guys that have contacted us, whatever, they just want their partners to feel good about themselves, and that is the problem, is that after having kids, quite often women just don't. There's been so many knocks to their confidence. They've lost their identity. They sometimes change their body shape or whatever, and they're not wearing the clothes that they used to wear, and they just don't feel good about themselves, and they can't bring much to the bedroom, and they can't walk. You actually, it's again, it's difficult to orgasm if you're not feeling very body confident.
Good about your body.
No,
there's quite a lot of studies around that.
You don't let go, do you?
No, you can't. And that's not helped by porn, and it's not helped by like seeing, you know, a particular type of beauty. And I think of a lot of guys, they're just like, they were saying to us when we did our survey, they were like, I still love her, she's so beautiful, she just doesn't feel it. And that was the problem. So I reckon if the underwear, if you're feeling good in your underwear,
if it's comfy for you,
if you want to rock those like post C-section pants as I did, and still
cut a hole in your M&S down below.
Because the other thing I'm interested in is upcycle. Sexiness. Joanna Lumley on that campaign.
Who needs to cut a hole?
I'm interested in the whole hair and no hair thing, because that's a real generational thing. So
it's generational and genitalia.
This is because we sometimes
literally no hair at all. Because it's funny, I go to the beautician and she was shocked, because she was like, I said I wanted to have my bikini line done, and she was like, okay. And I said, you know, I've only had it done a few times. I usually do it at home. And she was like, but you do the whole lot at home. And I said, what do you mean? I said, just these bits that are on the side, the sideburns.
Yeah, outside the pants.
And she was like, no, but, you know, you do the whole thing, don't you? And I was like, I've never done the whole thing. Like, I know I have one friend who did it when she got married, and she really went on honeymoon, and she was frantic.
Something old, something blue.
Just the sideburns, I call it the reverse Yorkshireman.
just the edges.
This
that's
idea
awesome.
That you have to constantly be completely devoid of hair, and men as well. And when you look at the shape of, if you look at I think most genitalia benefits from a bit of hair.
It's so personal, and I kind of think with those things, it doesn't. It's like anything. It's like, what's normal? If you find someone that likes you wearing a Billy Piper mask and you like it, then that's
fine.
Yeah.
Cool, isn't
it's fine.
If you like having a nudie fanny, go for your life.
You go for it. Yeah, so we're not judgmental about it. It's just it's interesting how things come in and out of fashion. And
my friend said after she had her Brazilian and had her first wank, it felt like she was feeding a horse.
No, it's really funny.
It's a sugar cube. Yeah.
about giving birth, because I can remember, like, the second, well, recently when I had Greta, when I gave birth, it was very painful and it was very quick. But nevertheless, I still several times said, I'm really sorry, I've not had time to do my bikini line. So I was kind of roaring with pain, but I was still kind of conscious of the fact that I was hairier than I possibly would have liked to have been. And then I spoke to somebody else and they were saying that's the thing now that most women would do, is before their due date, they usually would get that all taken care of. So they kind of book in their beautician before they go. I don't know if you did that, Lisa. But
well, I had C-sections, so
but
didn't.
You'd still, yeah. But you would kind of, and it's funny because I thought, it's so ridiculous how women are programmed, even in that moment of complete
pain
and kind of feeling really sort of like you're beyond in another world. You're still thinking,
so sorry, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Really sorry that.
Maybe I'll have a bejazzle. So I have to cheer up the doctor.
I know.
Spruce while he's sewing me up.
How many times should we, you know, have the wank, you know, in the week? I mean, have you got tips for this?
I would say
recommendations.
Is it like your five a day?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean,
it's a really yoga good, every damn day, wank every damn day.
No, it's probably good to do it. I mean, there's never any pressure to do something a certain number of times. But if you look at, you know, how anxious we are and busy and overloaded, and it's definitely not, you know, doing it every day or three or four times a week, or, you know, there's no, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, we weirdly have never talked about times, frequency or anything like that, because I think people get really obsessed with I'm not having sex enough and whatever, and actually it's so weird, but like even just masturbating is radical enough for some women to get their heads around, so the idea that they also have a quota. But I guess what we're trying to say is use it as part of your self-care, so don't always think you have to spend loads of money on new clothes, new makeup, spa break or whatever. Like, there's loads of health benefits to having an orgasm.
What are they, Lisa? What are the health benefits?
Increased continence, better heart health, better skin, decreased, like basically people that have great orgasms, whether they be wanking ones or partnered ones, genuinely present as younger and healthier as people that don't.
Really?
Yeah, and also
that's Cillian Murphy's secret.
Yeah, he looks so young.
Yeah,
but he is quite young. Love the wanking.
Yeah, no, probably.
He's probably quite young.
He won't look young by the time I finish with him.
And also it's just also if you do the wanking thing as a woman, which I know shouldn't sound like a taboo, but often it is. It's then better for your sex life because you know your own body, first of all, and also the more you orgasm, the quicker and easier it gets. So if you're leaving it for your 6-monthly date night with your other half, you're putting quite a lot of pressure on your other half to get the work done, whereas if you're sort of helping yourself, and also it's good, it helps.
It's like an outboard motor. You've got to keep it ticking over.
Yeah,
but that's an interesting one.
It's like keeping the central heating on. This is the best.
Got to drain the pipes.
Absolutely.
Got to bleed the old radiator. That's what we call it.
Get the central heating going. It's like the best household tip I've ever had was like keep your central heating on for an hour a day, even through the summer, because then it means that your pipes work.
Wait, is this a metaphor? Are you actually talking about
this
central
is an interesting
heating?
No, metaphor.
Yeah. Okay.
This is literally central heating, but it can be applied.
Even with my best friend that I've known since I was 11, we never talked about masturbating at all. And then I remember one day, and we put this in the book, one day, I think much later on, I was like, were you masturbating all that time? Because we used to talk about sex. We talked about boys we'd snogged, all this other stuff. But we never talked about that. And she was like, yeah, of course. You know, and I was like, this is my best friend, you know, and I never ever talked about it. And it was because it was so full of shame, you know, to sort of admit that. And you were worried. That's the only problem with sex. Like, if you sort of go, oh, do you get aroused whenever you eat a Monster Munch, or do you get aroused?
Do you?
I don't know, but I can remember someone saying to me,
depends if it's pickled onion or roast beef.
You know, when you sort of admit something, it sort of turns you off.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, oh, you know, ski boots. I mean, they're really arousing, aren't they? And someone's like, no. And you're like, oh, I'm really weird. Like, I won't say anything else. You know, that's. And I think women, especially, the whole masturbation thing, I mean, all women masturbate, but we just don't talk about it. You know,
yeah, it's like when you
if you read Red magazine, you won't see Renee Zellweger, you know, publicising her latest role and saying how she really relaxed every day by masturbating frantically in her trailer every night.
No, thinking about that time she had that scene with Colin Firth.
No, well, you might do now.
Yeah,
I doubt it.
And do same sex couples get in touch with you? Because obviously we're all heterosexual, but lesbian relationships and gay relationships, it's a different playing field because...
Yeah, and the orgasm gap that we talk about. So, like, straight women have fewer orgasms than anybody else. on this planet. It's so sad. And then, but straight men and gay men have quite a lot, followed by bisexual men, followed by lesbians, followed by bisexual women. So we have quite a lot in common with bisexual women. And so to me, that was like, well, if I was being scientific about it, which I never normally am, but like, it's about how women are interacting with men.
Because women say, what we have in common is men, Lisa. That's, that's the common fucking denominator.
The common, and it's how we're interacting with them, because men and men are doing all right. You know, they're doing okay. So it's kind of like, right, how do you get this communication going?
It's funny because I've got a few gay friends who just say that they're better at asking for what they want.
Mm.
So they don't sort of, you know, this whole sort of timid sort of, oh, would you mind if you just put your hand a bit up to the left there? And oh, I'm not sure I'm quite wrong.
Yeah.
There's none of that. It's just like, you know.
Put the Tom Selleck mask on. Put the mask on.
I know, yeah. Exactly.
Get the wham shorts.
Now in the monster mash.
I'm suddenly seeing a whole rise of people Googling in Amazon for Cillian Murphy masks. Yeah. Amazon, which I'm sure do exist.
We should put them in our merch shop.
I know.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's get into. Have we got any more like practical tips? Like I'm thinking, like maybe for someone who has recently had a baby, have you got any tips for that first time sex jam?
It's so boring. It's literally the most boring thing ever. But pelvic floor really does need work, and we've got a chapter called Pelvic Floor. Bear with us, literally bear with us, because we know it is so dull, but it is really important. Because when it gets the weight of a baby on the pelvic floor muscle, which basically goes from your like pubic bone to the kind of like where your bum is essentially, and it's holding up the bladder, the anus, everything, all these sexy things, and the baby is weighing down on it. And so by the end, whether you've had a vaginal birth or not, like it's fucked basically. And you need to get it back into shape in order for sex not to be painful. And also it's quite good not to wee yourself. It's quite useful. So doing the Kegel exercises are quite important, and it's really boring, but it does make sex better and orgasms easier, as I found out. But it depends how you're built. But I basically found by doing like lots of really good pelvic floor work, I was like, actually,
it's
like
funny how you say pelvic
feeling
floor.
A bit orgasmic.
See Helen's already going.
Everyone's doing their
Kegels. My eyebrows are shooting up.
Everyone forgets until you mention it. They're like, I need to
that's
do it
the
now.
The problem is the minute you say those words, people start to automatically do it. And that's it. Build it into your routine. So I think that one of the best tips
is. Oh, it's so boring, literally.
When you're in the
so
shower.
True.
That's when you should do them. So just clench and release, try and do it 10 times and do it slow and fast. I mean, we've got a whole chapter that tells you how to do it, but unless you, I mean, I have not done mine and I can tell. But I think if I could in theory build it into showering or brushing teeth, it just becomes kind of something that you're not having to think about, because unfortunately we've got very overloaded diaries, and it's like that pelvic floor is probably again not on the top of the list.
And it is really boring, we know that. But if you also then do these squeezes while you are either having sex, or if someone's going down on you or fingering you, or you're using a sex toy, that can really help. So they do have a sexy side. It's like me trying to be a teacher going like, ooh, maths can be fun. But it's true. Like, yeah. It can really help, depending on how you're built, obviously. But so that's one thing. And lube is really useful. We love lube because I sometimes think it gets things going. It gets the party started.
Mm.
It really does, because if things are kind of quicker.
It's like the Pringles. Yeah.
Yes. Pop open that.
Yeah. Once you pop, you can't stop. That's the problem. Yeah.
Exactly. Go for that. So those are our two, like, real starter, like, base level tips.
But also, I would say, don't feel pressured that you need to. Because there is a... Having a baby, it's not just obviously the physical toll it takes on you, but you've got, if you're breastfeeding or if whatever feeding you're doing, you've got this little person on you pretty much 24/7. And we've got cats as well at home. And I know that basically...
They have needs.
If you've got kids and cats, you know, baby and kids and cats... there's a lot of kind of things sitting on you all day.
Oh, that's why I can't have cats. I can bear it.
The minute the kids are in bed, so we sort of put the kids to bed. And our cats are so needy, because cats do need love. I mean, they're independent, but they love to sit on
lap. Sinister creatures.
The minute, literally, you sit down, the two of them are on your lap. Oh. And I mean, I love my cats. We've had them for 11 years. And they're getting really sad and old now. But I will literally physically push them off me onto the floor. And so if Paul then would make an advance on me, I think I would be similar in that I need to have an hour or two with nobody touching my body.
Yeah, definitely.
You want pussy? Here, have this cat.
No cats, no babies, nothing. So just don't put pressure on yourself that you need to suddenly have this amazing... Because there's a lot of that pressure, like snap back into shape, you know, get your sex life back on track. It can take quite a long time, and you know, that's fine. I'm still, you know, 9 months in and we haven't done it, and that's I mean that's probably quite normal, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And what about somebody who's maybe further on down the line? So you've had the babies, you're sort of back on track, but for whatever reason you're not having sex, and maybe you think, do you know what, yes, I am too tired, there are things I'd rather do, you know, like hang the laundry out, you know, whatever.
Cat litter tray.
What if you don't, if you just don't feel sexy within yourself, what?
Have a rubbish shag. If, like, sex droughts, that's another thing that people come to us quite often about, and it's because they've just left it so long it becomes then just too awkward. It's like if someone farts and there's a bad smell and then no one can admit it, and if you just said it first of all, then it would be fine, but you leave it too long and it gets really awkward, and that happens a lot.
Are you supposed to not admit it? Because Helen and I are almost proud of them.
That was me.
Which we will now preempt it. We'll say to each other, just like if we're on the way to a show, just to warn you, had lentils for lunch today.
I know, but the increasingly like vegan diet, this is more of a problem, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't want to be nearer in January. It's a bloody nightmare.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so but then no beer farts, so it's kind of better if you're doing dry January. Mm. So like with like couples that haven't had sex for a long time, sometimes they just need to basically grab each other and have quite a shit shag.
And do you just grab each other, or do you have the conversation? Do you say,
you don't need to. You can have a conversation, but quite often what we find is the recurring theme is literally just, right, I've had enough, I'm just going to go over and kiss him or her, and we're just going to do it, and we're going to get it over and done with, because it's like the elephant in the room that needs to be confronted. We just need to do it, and it doesn't
the elephant in the room needs to be sucked off. That's the bottom line.
Feel like an elephant anyway, and then it gets much easier after that, because you're like, right, done, tick.
But also I suppose it doesn't have to be amazing.
No, it's rubbish. It's
just exactly. I would say one of the things that it worked for a friend of mine is that have a roast. Mm-hmm. Like a nice Sunday lunch.
That's a whole other sex thing, though, a roast, don't you?
Make a nice lunch, you know, you or your partner, have a few nice glasses of wine. And as soon as you have a couple of glasses of wine, you're like, put a DVD on with the kids, go upstairs, give yourself 10 minutes, and then it's done.
Exactly. It doesn't need to take long. It really doesn't. And I think that's the other thing. Like, we're not sex experts, and we never say we are. We haven't studied sex. I mean, as if you can, really.
And if you did, that whole week.
I did a week.
A whole week of training. Yeah.
That's like a GCSE, basically.
I've got my university university.
But we just found, like, sex tips just didn't really speak to us, because they were all about, like, ooh, wear a push-up bra so that you can give your man a tip wank and all of this stuff, which is all well and good, but I was kind of like, these tips do not speak to me, and they never really have done, and they're always delivered by someone who, like, looks like,
but also it's propagating that whole idea that it's about pleasing them rather than pleasing yourself necessarily, because it's kind of like dressing up in sexy underwear or putting high heels on or that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think people are often quite disappointed if, like, people are like, oh, if you meet someone and they're like, what are you working on? Oh, I've written a book about orgasms, and they start rubbing their thighs and get, and then you're, then you start banging on about the pelvic floor and they're like, oh god, deeply unsexy. But I sort of think a lot of this is really quite dull and boring, and it's about getting the basics right and also not trying to be like, I'm going to have a sex dungeon or a sex party. It's
You're normalising it, and that's what it means. It is just a basic human need and want, and you feel like you have to, it has to be performative. It has to be some kind of show when it can be just, you know, just a lovely thing you do.
Something nice. Yeah. A little enhanced cuddle.
Yeah. Magic cuddle.
Magic cuddle. It's just perfect.
I always worry a bit because I feel like we're so, I mean, I've been out of the workplace for a couple of years and then sort of recently got a new job, and I just noticed how much everyone's on their phones now. Like, you know, it used to be, this is, I was like old grandma, but you know, like people never used to walk around with headphones on watching a film while they're walking along a train platform. So I was at Clapham Junction and I mean, we would have thought that was crazy. Like, you've been like, well, you're watching a film and you're walking on a train, you're going to walk under a train. But this is when the majority of the people in the rush hour are doing this.
I remember going to Japan years ago and getting on the subway and like everybody was looking at their phones. I'm
thinking how weird.
And I was like, wow, this is so weird. Like, oh my God, our cultures are so different.
Yeah.
And now of course, I'm like, oh no, in the UK, we're just really backwards because we had shit phones. They knew what they were doing, those Japanese guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a bit of a tendency where we're sort of moving away from connection.
Disconnect, yeah.
Because we're kind of, you know, like, nobody talks on the phone. They have to text. It's like, I can't, she's fucking texting me. What the fuck? She's texting me, and I've got to text her back, and I've got to choose an emoji and all this other shit. But actually, if your phone rings, you're like, how fucking rude. Somebody's actually caught. They want to speak to me.
How,
you know,
dare they?
And you sex is, like, really intimate, and it takes effort, and it's a bit kind of, you might have to have a shower afterwards, and you're not going to be able to just press an emoji and get it done. Like, it's not quick and easy, and I worry a little bit that we're kind of moving towards this kind of, like, we're all just in our own little bubbles, sort of, you know, posting things and tippy-tapping away and watching films and absorbing content, and then sex kind of ends up being something that we absorb, that we, through our eyes, that we don't really engage with anymore.
I mean, that's quite painful.
Absorbing sex through
our eyes. Yeah. You know, this is a lot.
I mean, I need a lot of lube for
I've
that
actually
one.
I've been on a bus, like, where a guy's watched porn.
No, yes, that's yucky.
I think that is not...
Oh, especially when it's a driver, it's a health and safety risk.
The driver sometimes has got the headphones on and he's holding up his, you know, his screen. It just, I don't know. I think in a way it's very healthy if we sort of remind ourselves that just to be with another person, and, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good thing. We need to do more of that. And we also sort of point out that it doesn't, you don't have to spend any money. Like, you're not going to be online shopping at ASOS with those 10 minutes that you're having a shag with your partner.
No.
That's another time when you're not buying stuff, unless you're buying a large dildo that you need to plug in and...
Yes.
Yeah, the electricity bills after this Vader, exactly. Through the roof.
Oh, well, there we go. I think we've completed sex, guys, basically.
Yes.
I think we've absolutely nailed it.
We've done it.
So your book is called More Orgasms, Please?
Why Female Pleasure Matters. It's out now, available in all good bookshops.
You also got an audio
book. Oh, you've answered my favourite question. Where can you get your book?
Amazon, basically.
Yeah.
And also, if you don't want to read it, then you can listen to it, because we've done an audio book version as well.
That's awesome. On the Audible and whatnot.
Yes.
Excellent. Yeah, so did you both just...
We
read
did
it out.
Yeah, we did.
Did you
yeah.
do it in a sexy voice? That's what I was saying.
Probably
not.
It makes me feel slightly, because it's really funny. Like, I get contacted on Instagram by a lot of men in the military. I need to just check whether this is a normal thing.
I do too. I get American a lot of men in the military. Hi. Hey. Hi, honey.
And then when I look at their profile, it's like a 70-year-old guy doing a salute, an army salute against an American flag.
Yes, I have the same ones. I think them obviously after.
I do worry slightly about the audio, the audio bit, because I sort of think maybe those are the men that might be listening to it whilst they're firing various missiles into the air.
Is that a metaphor?
That's the pelvic floor really chapter. They prefer to be at war.
This is not what I thought.
I once did a hashtag, because I was on my fashion account, Helen Wears a Size 18, and I was like modelling a bra, and then I just went hashtag boobs, and I just got a whole swathe of new followers.
Did you?
I was like, oh, is that what they're just putting into the thing? Hashtag boobs. So I never put that hashtag in the
game.
Have you put it in all of your posts?
No, just get keep getting people that call like Derek and Brick.
It's funny how they always just do hello.
I know, that's it.
Like, it's like hello, and then you're like going to go, hi, I'm in love with you, let's meet.
Oh my god, like, I want to see my tits. Thanks so much for taking the time to write.
Hi darling, or they say something, hi honey, and you're like, ah, block.
Shall we finish up as always with some scummy mummy confessions?
We should. Now who wants to go first?
Well, I am quite a scummy mummy, and so I'm not really prioritising tidying the house ever. So that's not really my scummy mummy story, but I'm sort of like reclaiming the word slut in its old form. I would definitely rather have an orgasm than tidy my house.
That's scummy a tough mummy call for me, by the way. I've got to say, I'm thinking about that.
What would you choose?
Ooh. Ellie, so you've got 15 minutes before the school run.
Oh, it depends.
What would you do?
How bad is the house? is the spice rack out of alphabetized order? That's a tough one.
There is something about mental health, feeling, and domestic chores, definitely.
Yeah, so people aren't really tidying up because they want to. It's gorgeous.
I'm messing around. Of course, I'd rather have an orgasm, but at the same time, I feel more relaxed and I feel more able to not think about, you know, the state of the house when it's tidy. So I think that is,
But in terms of Scummy Mummy Confessions, so when we had our book launch, we did it at a lovely place called Shush Woman's Store. And it's so nice.
Oh, was it in Hoxton?
Yes. And it's like,
I remember going past going, why is it called Shush? Why is it called Shush?
Anyway. Well, walk through. It's like the mullet of sex shops, because you go through and it's like an antique shop and a cafe and it's all avocado and toast.
The mullet of sex shops.
Yes, because it's like two. Oh. And then round the back is the party side through a little curtain, and all kinds of sex toys are on sale there, and the staff are really amazing. And they hosted our book launch, which was so kind of them. They were happy with sales, so they gave me a little freebie, and it was this thing called a Tenga egg. Have you heard of it?
No.
Basically, it's a sex toy for men, and I mean literally they gave us the example of like, you're watching TV and you can basically sling it over your partner's dick and use it as a zero effort hand job. It's basically like a slimy
vagina.
I'm really selling it, aren't I? But it's cheap, it's like £10, always sells really well, it's like a proper sellout. She gave me one for free, and I have to say, from certain angles, it looks like a Kinder egg.
It sounds amazing.
So my son found it and was like, what's that, mummy? So I was like, it's like a Kinder egg, but for grown-ups. Oh, can I have some? No, you can't. Why not? And I had to say, like, it's spicy chocolate, because that's the one thing you won't have.
That's the best offence.
So he was like, okay, and walked off. And I was like, that's awkward.
Done.
He'll never ask again.
So my scummy mummy confession is that, so tonight we were waiting for you guys to come and was sorting the house out, and Pete was like, oh, who is it who you've got coming tonight? And I was like, oh, Aniki and Lisa. And he's like, they're experts. What did you say?
And I said, they're going to talk about their gardens.
Ladies
and their gardens, and the things people put in the gardens,
and birds and bees or something like that.
And then, Pete still didn't get it. Yes, yeah. Like birds and the bees.
And then this little voice from the top of the stairs went, "I know what you're talking about." He's a bright lad, Charlie.
He'll be subscribing, liking, commenting on this.
He can do what he likes as long as he doesn't get anyone pregnant. Helen?
Oh, yes. So recently, my husband and I were sitting in our bedroom, and our son ran in. He was in the nude. He'd gone to the toilet, and he'd obviously gone to the poo, gone to the toilet, done a poo, and he came in and sat on the bed with his bare bum and left like a little brown donut impression of his bum on our sheets. And I just washed it, and that was just a little
But some
little
people do that with baby footprints, and actually the bum print, that could be a new phenomenon. You could probably sell those on Instagram, because you have those beautifully framed baby footprints.
Yeah, frame it.
The little poo bum. Little beautiful thing.
Nice.
You could date it at the bottom. Yeah.
We had one of my favourite confessions ever from one of our shows was, this woman had gone to John Lewis and begged them to sell her the mock-up of the baby, you know, the baby plaster of Paris feet thing, because she just hadn't got it together to get one done for the second child. She was like, just please, just sell me that one. It's not really him.
Well, I haven't done it for either of my kids, and I'm thinking, I mean, I can probably do it at their fifth birthday, right? Or 18.
Yeah. You know,
it's like, as long as you do it at
little hands. It's fine.
I mean, you know, what are you going to do with it anyway? Do you know
Seriously, they'll end up just chucking it in the skip.
Oh, well, there we go. Amazing scene.
thank you very
literally
much.
Thank you fun. For coming.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you everyone for listening. As always, you can come and see us live. Go to scummymummies.com for dates.
Yeah, we're going up and down the country, and we'll be we're doing Christmas shows, the whole shebang. We're always on tour, Ellie. Do rate, review and subscribe to the podcast, and of course follow us on social media. Where can everyone find you, ladies?
At the Hotbed Collective, yeah, mm-hmm. on Instagram and on Amazon. If you Google more orgasms, please, you should find us. Or I dare you to ask for us in your local bookshop.
Why not? Why not? Even the shit WH Smiths in Forest Hill.
Maybe.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been lovely guests, and I feel, you know, educated and aroused.
Oh,
so what can I say, ladies?
Nice.
Yeah, what a treat. Job done.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's been our pleasure.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, yay. Congratulations.
Thank you. That was. I could feel my glasses were getting steamed.
Oh,
steamy windows.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.